Hey everybody, today is April 30th, and there's a few more pests than we're kind of used to this time of year, it seems like right now. What do you think, Nick?
It's pretty dang quiet on the rice front. I've had one or two random calls about seeing a cutworm here or there and there, but it's been extremely quiet. There is some rice that looks like it's big enough to potentially go to flood sometime over the next 7 to 10 days, and we have no answers to this on the seed treatment side. I've had a few people ask me, with how dry it's been, if we would expect higher efficacy with those neonic seed treatments, even though they've set out there the same amount of time as a normal spring. And they are water soluble, those neonics, cruiser, nipsit, et cetera. They are water soluble, so you'd like to think they would still hang around a little bit better than like a spring like last year where it rained so much. But frankly, we really don't have great data on it. I still think that if you're past that 35-day mark, I just wouldn't assume excellent control. It could still be good. We've seen that, but I wouldn't assume it's going to be excellent. And I've had a few phone calls wondering about running Lambda pre, and I know we show a lot of that data, and generally in our plots, it doesn't look bad. But the misleading part with our data is that in our plot, we can get to flood in, 6, 8, 10 hours. It takes no time. That land is going to sit out there. If it takes you 5 to 10 days to get the water across it, that sunlight's going to break it down. I wouldn't expect as good a control there. But I mean, really on the rice front, outside of going to flood and weevils probably going to start popping up pretty quick. Already seen some scarring after this rain. It's pretty daggum quiet.
Yeah, but we got some things hop popping up in beans. I know both me and you have been getting a lot of calls on salt marsh caterpillars in soybeans.
Yeah, quite a few, and it seems like a lot of that is related to burning down weedy host around it. Not necessarily what's going on in the field itself. Generally, they're clean, but seeing them almost like army workers march across turn rows out of fields that got burned down next door or ditches that got mowed, those sort of things, removing that host. And most of the pictures I've gotten have been big salt marsh, and they're defoliating them beans in a hurry.
Yeah, a lot of them, they're just moving out of turn rows. Those caterpillars are already pretty large. And so they can, those big old caterpillars can eat quite a bit pretty darn fast. And most of the time, you can do a perimeter treatment around the edge of your field and take care of those salt marsh. And I'll tell you, we've had some studies on them the past couple years because it seems like they've became more of an issue, and we've just seen them a lot more than in previous years. But I wouldn't recommend going after them with just like a Lambda application with just a pyrethroid. I would go with probably like 4 ounces of Intrepid or Intrepid Edge, or you could even go with like Besiege if you're just trimming the edge of the field, or another chlorantraniliprole product like Vanacor or something like that. But what the pyrethroid in our trials, we only got about 30% control. Lambda plus Asphate looked pretty good, but go with something more than just a pyrethroid alone after those things. We also be getting some calls on cutworms. And
Yeah, there's been several there there's been several calls. What would you say over the past about 7 or 8 days? It's like it's really popped up on cutworms, and I know Chase is dealing with quite a few up in the Missouri too. And it kind of seems like most of the calls I'm getting on cutworms are north of 40. And a lot of it seems related to cover crop. Not all of it. Some of it's just ryegrass clumps and stuff out in the field. Some of them have been fairly clean fields, but it seems like a pretty good flight of cutworms out there. And
Yeah, and we were at that field the other day, and it seemed like a mix of, and it was cereal rye, And it was a mix of cutworms and true army worms out there. So, pyrethroid generally does pretty good on those. And I think in some of those situations, we've had some people talk about not getting real good control with the pyrethroid on those. But we kind of chalk a lot of that up to not getting good coverage in some of these cover crop situations that have a really thick mat and are kind of protecting any of those caterpillars that are underneath that mat from really getting good insecticide down to them.
I think too, Ben, in some of those situations, just based on the pictures I've gotten, you got multiple sizes of worms in there, anywhere from basically full grown to quarter grown. And spraying them with something like Lambda, I mean, if you got 90% on that first egg lay that was out there, those worms that hatch 5, 7 days later, that Lambda's not going to do anything for, the residual's gone. So, I mean, hate to spend Intrepid, et cetera, type money there, but it kind of seems like the way that flight stretched out, I maybe worth considering.
It definitely might be worth considering. I guess on cotton earlier this year, just the thrips predictor model, I think I wrote in a letter to the Crop Consultants Association, that the thrips predictor from NC State, it wasn't up and running. But I actually just ran the model today. They got that thing back up and running. And it seems like actually now this year, with how the weather's been so dry, that a little bit of the earlier planted cotton seems like in that predicting model that they may take the brunt of our thrips injury. And then it seems like this later planted cotton, it's supposed to die down. It's not supposed to have as much thrips pressure. So, just kind of keep that in mind when you're out there looking for what it's worth, just something to kind of think about. What else, Nick? How about stink bugs and corn? I know both of us got a few calls on that.
Yeah, and it seems like it's been pretty sporadic. I will say, I feel like this year they match the traditional what you consider pattern with stink bugs and corn, and that they're like extremely related to tree lines and stuff. And it seems like the damage is really isolated there. I feel like last year is one of those years where we saw stink bug injury in clean fields with nothing around it. We saw it in fields that had tree lines on a bunch of sides. It was just a lot of stink bug activity. It seems like this year it fits a lot more of the traditional sort of stink bug pattern. But it's what Ben and I talk about quite a bit. We don't like the whole see a bug, spray a bug thing, but I got to be honest with you. If I'm seeing a few stink bugs out there, them things are pretty dang difficult to scout for in corn. They hide too good and they disappear during the day a lot of times and come back at night. So it's hard to get a good judge of the actual population out there. If I can find stink bugs pretty easy, I may consider spraying some bifenthrin out there.
I agree.
I mean, while we're on the topic of stink bugs, I guess we can talk about what we found last week in the ditch bank surveys.
Oh yeah, we need to hit on that. We found, we went out and swept some of this crimson clover down in South Arkansas, and we were finding a few red-banded stink bugs in it. Nothing crazy, but talking to some of the guys down in Louisiana, and matter of fact, just within 10 miles of the border, I mean, they were finding pretty heavy levels of red-banded stink bugs and some of that crimson clover. And then even the guys over in Mississippi, I know down south, had been finding red-bandeds in their clover. So, I don't know.
It's
I don't
hard to
even make
say what that,
predictions.
yeah, it's hard to say what that means, but there's a few more in the state than we would like at the moment.
Yeah, a little bit more than what I expected. I kind of thought that week of cold weather that we had with the snow might have done a little bit better than guess what we got. I really didn't expect that we were going to find much, but lo and behold, we did.
Yeah, and found a pile of corn earworms down in Texarkana, not as much around southeast Arkansas, but that spot that I was at too was an isolated block of clover with a bunch of cow pasture around it. I figure every moth in that country went to it, so I don't know if those numbers are real meaningful.
Right. But I don't know. That's kind of all we got right now, unless you can think of something else, Nick.
Not unless we just want to get the caveat that so far we ain't found jazzit or delphacid. That's really what we were going down there to look for.
Yeah, we the cotton jacet, as far as we hadn't found any in the state, neither has anybody really in any of the surrounding states outside of maybe some that got trucked in on in these nurseries on hibiscus. But I haven't found any in the state, and I've looked at some hibiscus at some various, retailers. But Nick, what'd you find on the Delphacids?
Nothing, but I don't know that we would really expect to find any in the spring. I mean, the little bit of data out there on like alternate host would be cereal rye, and we swept a little bit of it, but that data was all greenhouse lab generated, so don't really know how it holds up in the real world. With that being said, the folks down in Texas, they haven't started finding it yet. Keep in mind, it was around the 1st of June last year when they started finding it. So hopefully in the next 3 to 4 weeks, we'll kind of at least have a feel for what's going on down there. They did find some in a greenhouse down in Baton Rouge earlier this week. Don't really know what that means going forward either. But as far as in Arkansas, we haven't found any. And to my knowledge, I don't think Donnie or Dawson or any of them have found them in Louisiana or Mississippi either. So, I
Yeah.
mean, time will tell.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that's, I don't know. That's about everything I know right now.
Yeah.
But, well, if you need us, call us. My number's 501-517-3853.
And I'm 870-456-8486.
All right. Thank you very much.
Always read and follow label instructions. Some products may not be registered for sale or use in all states or counties. Please check with your local extension service to ensure registration status. Besiege is a restricted use pesticide.